If you have your Bibles with you, they may be open to Psalm, the next Psalm, but we will be in the book of Jonah. If you will, open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. As we look at the subject of thanksgiving, how to have a spirit of thanksgiving even when things around you just seem to be terrible, when things seem to be bad. Russell mentioned it. It is always ever present in your mind when we enter the holiday season of those who struggle for various reasons through the holidays. It's a time of memory, a time of reflection, often a time of family, and sometimes a time of pain when some aren't with us that were there previously, and some of the things that can happen that are for some reason brought to a special light during that time of holiday or time of Thanksgiving or even in Christmas. This whole holiday season brings a lot of that out, and a lot of people struggle through them. So they look at Thanksgiving, and as we look at Jonah, everybody knows the story of Jonah. He was a story that we were told as children. Even though I didn't go to church, it was one we were told, even by our grandparents, and a few times we did go to church. You heard of Jonah, and we hear about him. He was told by God to go warn people, the wicked people of Nineveh, and how he ran from God and went the other way and got about as far away from God as he could get, going the opposite direction. And God sent this huge storm, this monster storm that almost shipwrecked the whole ship, and he was tossed over. Then God sent this giant fish to swallow Jonah and steer him back to where he needed to be. That's the overlying story. As we look into the middle of that, we're going to look at how did Jonah find a way into Thanksgiving in the middle of this mess, even in the belly of this giant fish that he finds himself in. We're going to find that. We're going to answer that, hopefully, tonight as we look at that together. As the prophet looks back and prays from the belly of a great fish. That's where we start reading in chapter 2, verse 1. The Word of God says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell he cried I, and thou heardest me, or heardest my voice. For thou hadst come, cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed about me. And thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Verse 5, the waters compassed about me, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thee and into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." There it is. "I will pay that I have vowed, and salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. 10 verses with so much happening. And that's where we'll spend our evening together tonight as we consider how to have the spirit of thanksgiving even when things around you are terribly bad. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you. We exalt your name. That even though things around us in our own country and this world are spiraling, what appears to be in chaos, as my brother prayed, you are in control, and we find our confidence, our hope, and all that we are in you, the one who holds it all in his hands. We lift up our hearts tonight, Lord, praying for those around us who are perishing, praying for those in our church that aren't with us tonight, Lord, lifting them up and praying for your blessing upon them and lifting up each other as we gather together in this room tonight, Lord, as we lift our hearts to you to give thanks for the very life you've given us, to give thanks for the very breath that we have, to give thanks for salvation that's available and that we embrace because you have given it as a gift to us, not because of anything we could ever do to earn it, but because of you. And Lord, we pray tonight as we look to your word that our hearts would be open and teachable, that the Holy Spirit would teach us and that we would be changed by your word to be more like you and leave here, Lord, praising you, glorifying you in all that we say and all that we do. This we pray in Christ's name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You can ask psychologists, psychiatrists, and get all kinds of reasons and 5 and 10 step plans to have a thankful heart. But the Word of God has all authority in our lives and is sufficient for all that we need. And tonight, as we look to this idea of Thanksgiving and how to have it even when things aren't going well around us, we come to it with heavy hearts sometimes, even with the shootings that go on. We talk about having a bad week. Many of us maybe even had a bad week, and if we haven't had one, we've recently most likely had a bad week. We look to Jonah, who's trapped in the belly of a really big fish for 3 days. I say that probably trumps most of us as far as having a bad week. And it's what we're going to look at is this, as you heard as he prayed and came to a spirit of thanksgiving in the middle of all this mess. But it's really hard as we consider how do we get there. And a lot of times we just kind of endure messages, we endure the Word of God, and we go back to our feelings shortly thereafter and our emotions and back to where we were, having not been affected by what we've heard from the Word of God. And I pray that doesn't happen and that we're impacted greatly by the Word of God and changed by what happens here. About how suddenly things can change in our lives. One phone call, one storm, and being tossed off a ship and swallowed by a fish. Things sometimes come out of nowhere and knock us off our feet. And that's really what happens here, because you're most certain that Jonah did not expect for this to happen to him when he got on that ship heading toward Tarshish. He was not expecting a large storm. He most definitely was not expecting this giant fish to swallow him. And yet that's where he finds himself. And here we find ourselves in 2022, the day before Thanksgiving Eve, if you would. We've come out of the COVID crisis and the world has drastically changed in a very, very short period of time. The economy is in the tank. Inflation's outrageous. People are now calling evil good and good evil. There are laws being passed to legalize immoral and destructive lifestyles. We have terrorists, wars, rumors of wars. We have worldwide persecution of Christians, and for the first time is starting to show up even in our own country. And the list goes on and on and on. And even beyond that, there are some even maybe here tonight that have had a more personal crisis than what we find in today's headlines. Some have lost loved ones. Some have had bad diagnosis from the doctor and have severe health problems. Some people have relationship problems. Some people have great family problems. There's a lot of bad things that we can go on and list. So with all this trouble, with all the bad things that we have in this life, how can we get to a place of thanksgiving in the middle of all of that? Hopefully that's what we're going to answer. Let's go back to Jonah. He finds himself in the worst of positions that you could possibly think of, yet he finds his way to thanksgiving. We look at the Word of God here. First thing we learn that to get to a place of thanksgiving in times of trouble, the first thing we do is we cry out to God. Look at that. That's the very first thing he does is he cries out to God. Look at verse 1. He says, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and I heard my voice. He cried out to God. I'm sure he was probably not whispering. I would doubt that this was a silent prayer. Not that it makes a difference. God hears it all. But I would doubt that it was silent. He was probably screaming. I would have been, I'm sure. And we're reminded by that, that even though we may be going through rough times, or even if we're not, we can still cry out to God and He hears us. We know that Russell prayed that. It's like he read ahead in the scripture in the sermon that God hears us when we pray. And Jonah says, I cried out my affliction to the Lord. And the next thing he says is, He heard me. So he's praying with the confidence of knowing that God is hearing this as he cries out. Often we diminish the power of prayer and really don't consider prayer. Sometimes we become so concentrated on the power of God, the sovereignty of God, that we diminish the power of prayer in our lives. And we are called and told and commanded to pray without ceasing. We just read that as a scripture. So here it is. And I heard a cute story of a vacation Bible school teacher that applied here. And I used this in a sermon once before. It's very appropriate for this. But in her vacation Bible school, she was with six-year-olds. The children were talking about this story of Jonah and the whale, and they began to discuss how would they get out of this whale? How would this get out of the big fish? And I say whale, I get a letter in the mail that says it's not a whale, it was a big fish, Roger. Some people are that technical and get caught up in that. Send your letter to Stan. He'll take it and answer it for me. It was a big fish, big whale. Something was swimming around and it swallowed him, okay? The kids were talking about how would they get out. One said, I'd build a fire and make him cough and let me out. Another was talking about stomping him on the tongue until he spit him out. And they went around the room. It kept getting crazier and crazier until it got to one kid. One kid says, I would just call my father and wait until he came and got me out. And I thought, what a great sermon illustration that was, because that's exactly what Jonah did. He prayed to his father, Abba Father, and waited for him to get him out. It's that simple. It just seems like a simple child story, but it rings true in my heart. I'm very simple-minded that that's what we do, is we pray to God, the one that can take care of it. That child prayed to the one that could take care of it, waited for their dad to come and get them out because he knew the dad would do that. We pray to our God knowing that He will do that. Jonah only had to wait 3 days. And I'm sure that's probably the longest 3 days anybody's ever had in their life. Can you imagine being in that position? He's got weeds wrapped around him. He's in darkness. Can you imagine what that would have been like? How long 3 days would have been? Sometimes our problems last longer than 3 days. But we don't give up. We still can get to that place of thanksgiving. And we begin the step of getting toward having a heart of thanksgiving, even when things are bad like that, when we begin to cry out to God and knowing that He will hear us. The next thing is we look through our text that we can do to develop this heart of thanksgiving, even when things are bad around us, is to look up to God in hope. That's what Jonah does here. If you look back at verses 3 and 4, and look at what he says as he spoke to God here. In verse 3 he says, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. Your billows and your waves pass over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple." In one of the darkest places you could probably ever imagine, and probably, can you think of anything scarier than being ate by a fish? And yet he prays to God, looks up with hope, with a spirit of hope in this prayer. And then we know, reading the end, I always like to read the end of the book before I read the rest of the book, because I only like happy endings. And I like movies that way. I like to find out how they end before I watch a movie, because I don't like the bad endings. We know how this ends. It ends with God speaking to the fish. The fish vomits him out on the dry land. Jonah knew that. He somehow knew that with this hope he had in him. And if you look at it, look at what he says. He says, "Your billows, your waves, you, God, have cast me into the deep, and it's out of your sight that I've been cast." He's proclaiming that it's God who alone who has put him in this position, and it is God alone who could deliver him out of the situation. He's looking up with a spirit of hope. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, it's actually a sermon, it wasn't a commentary that I was reading, that was posted, I pulled and read on this very subject, this very chapter, when he says, no matter what your problem is, if God decided to, he could send a big fish to help you too. But more than likely, he's going to send someone with a big heart to help you. I thought, well, what a way to put that. It's still the same God. He could send a big fish. He can do whatever he wants to. He's God. It's still the same God that created the big fish, that created the storm and put Jonah in this position to get him back where he needed to be. It's the same God that will work on you and me to get us back to where we need us to be. And he often does send people in to help in time of need. We'll go to Thanksgiving and think about it. In the late 1620s, there were 102 pastors on the Mayflower, and they began their new life in Plymouth, Massachusetts. By spring, nearly half of them had died because of sickness and starvation. They were not prepared for what they were going to be facing. The situation was desperate, and God sent a young man, a young Indian man named Squanto, if you remember the story, to rescue them. And to back up and tell you more about Squanto, just to show you how God works, about a decade before the pilgrims ever came to the new country, to Massachusetts, about 10 years before or better, some English traders actually landed, and they were at Plymouth, Massachusetts as well. And when they landed, these Indians came out and wanted to trade with them. They were kind and sweet-tempered Indians. They came out and wanted to trade with these people who landed, and they took them all captive, sold them into slavery, took them back to the Europe. And here all these Indians, they just were hauled over there. One of those Indians was Squanto, this young man who made his way to England, sold into slavery. His owners treated him well, and he actually was led by the person that owned him. He was led to Christ through the slave owner who released him, and he began then to work as an independent person, no longer a slave, in a stable. And the stable owner, who was named Slaney, told him and says, on the first ship that I can get you on, I'm going to get you back home to the new country. And so that happened. And he comes back to his new country, having been separated for all those years, but having now known Christ. And when he gets back, he is devastated to find out his whole village had been wiped out, not by war, but by an illness that had stricken, and they were all dead from some type of virus that had taken over and killed them all. So 10 years later, after he arrives, here comes the Mayflower. And the pilgrims walk up, and here comes this guy speaking English who's an Indian. His help, they said, was priceless. Here's what the pilgrim governor wrote. His name was William Bradford. He wrote this in his journal. Squanto became a special instrument sent from God for our good. He showed us how to plant our corn, where to take fish, and to procure other commodities. He was also our pilot to bring us to unknown places for our profit, and never left us till he died. As a matter of fact, Squanto even left all of his worldly possessions to the pilgrims as a further evidence of his love toward those people and his love of Christ. And that fits real well with our story, because just as God helped Jonah through the fish and was able to swallow him whole and actually save him from drowning, God helped the pilgrims through an Indian who had been sold into slavery, sent halfway around the world and back. If God can do that, surely God can find a way to help us in whatever's bothering us, whatever's on our slate today. God is our hope, our only hope. So how can we get to a place of thanksgiving? First, we cry out to God, knowing that he hears us. Then we look up to God in hope, knowing that he acts on our behalf. And moving on our text, we see the next thing that we must do if we're going to get to this place of thanksgiving, even in times of trouble, is we need to remember God. Remember the one true God of the Bible. I'll be more specific with that. Look at verses 5 through 7. Actually, we'll read down through verse 10. Verse 5 says, the waters compassed about me, even to the soul, to the depth closed in round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, O God. Verse 7, here's the hinge. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Wow, what a time to do that. And it says that my prayer came unto thee in thy holy temple. That they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. You see the connection here. This is how he got to the spirit of thanksgiving in this really horrible place. And then he declares and makes a vow to God. He says, I will pay the vow that I vowed to you. Salvation is of the Lord. And then the happy ending of the part where the Lord spake to the fish and it vomited out Jonah up on the dry land. So Jonah says, even so, though he's fainting and his soul, he's about ready to give up. He's overwhelmed with this. He cries out to God, but he remembers God. And he gets to this place of thanksgiving. If you remember back a few months ago, we were in Psalm 77 when there was a similar. I may have took 77 back to Jonah. They both really go really close to each other. But in Psalm 77, the psalmist, I won't read the whole psalm, but in verse 11 of Psalm 77, the psalmist says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among thy people. It goes on, the whole story, the whole thing is about thanksgiving and remembering God and entering a heart of thanksgiving. So the psalmist and Jonah alike were in a time of crisis. Both of them remembered God. Both reached this place of thanksgiving. You have to note that what they remembered or who they remembered when they remembered God was the God of the Bible, the one true God. And it goes back to what Tozer said, and maybe where it comes from, is the fact that what comes to mind when you think of God's the most important thing about you, you have to be thinking about the God of the Bible. Not every God's the same God, if that makes sense, the little g. The God of the Muslims is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Mormons is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Seventh-day Adventist or the Jehovah's Witness, it's not the God of the Bible. When we think of God, when we remember God, we remember the God of the Bible, and we do that through the Word of God. But I have to say, if your God is not great and mighty in charge of the storms, of the big fish, and of whatever's in your life, if he's not the God that's in charge of that, then that's not the God of the Bible. If your God's not holy and righteous, then you're not thinking of the God of the Bible. A lot of people, and many people in our churches today, they have very little knowledge of the one true God anymore. And because of that, their thinking is all messed up. And I don't know who it was that said it. It sounds like Adrian Rogers, but I'm not sure who it was, but I wrote it down a long time ago in my Bible. When your thinking gets messed up, your living gets messed up. So we learn from this scripture, God is in control of everything, even our troubles. And because of that, we can cry out to God because he's in charge of it. And we can cry out in prayer with confidence, knowing that he hears us. We read in the New Testament in 1 John 5, verse 14, it's a confidence that we have before him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And because of this, we have hope no matter what, because God's working out the details. He works all things out for good, we read in Romans. And then we remember God like the psalmist and like Jonah did. And moving through our text, it brings a spirit of obedience that comes out of this. In verses 7 through 9, we read and see this. When his soul fainted, he remembered the Lord. My prayer went up to you and to your holy temple. And then he says, I will keep the vows. In verse 9, read verse 9, it says, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. This is a commitment to be obedient. I'm going back to do what I'm supposed to be doing. I have vowed to be your prophet, your man of God, and I'm going to do that now. He's returning back to God in obedience. This would be revival. that would be happening. Personal revival, starting with Jonah. It's a commitment. Making his commitment, renewing his commitment to God, or remembering God, remembering his commitment to God, maybe better put. And it's because of that kind of commitment that we even have a national holiday that's called Thanksgiving today. The pilgrims declared back in that time a 3-day Thanksgiving feast, not to thank the Indians as they teach the children in public schools, but to thank God. And it was December 13th, 1621, the very first Thanksgiving. It was 3 days of Thanksgiving. In 1789, the whole country of the United States celebrated its first day of Thanksgiving to God after a proclamation made by George Washington. By the time the 1820s rolled around, Thanksgiving had almost been forgotten. More and more people ignored it. There was a lady named Sarah Hale that became very famous at that time. Not because she did anything, but because she was a champion of Thanksgiving. She had a lot of hardship in her life as well. She was born in 1788. She was the daughter of a disabled veteran from the Revolutionary War. She had to help support her family. She did that by teaching. In 1813, she was married to a man named David Hale. He died with pneumonia when she was pregnant with her 5th child. She was left alone to support her children by making hats, writing poetry, and she wrote novels. But in spite of the difficult time that she had, she was thankful to God for the life she had. And she believed that Thanksgiving to God, the holiday, should not fade away. So much so, let me tell you what she did. She believed that everybody in the country should turn their hearts to God with thanksgiving. She picked up her pen and she wrote 1,000 or more letters to politicians asking them to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. None of them were answered. She eventually went to the top. She asked President Zachary Taylor to make Thanksgiving a national holiday, and he refused. She later wrote to Presidents Fillmore, Pierce, and Buchanan, and they all refused to make Thanksgiving a holiday. In 1863, despite the fact that our country was in the middle of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln agreed to make Thanksgiving a national holiday, a day for all Americans to give thanks to the Almighty God, he said. It took her 38 years, numerous letters, and a whole lot of dedication, but Sarah Hale prevailed in getting Thanksgiving. What an amazing story. Many of us don't even know about the history of Thanksgiving. We're taught a lot of strange things about it, about thanking the Indians and not thanking God. But these people's commitment to God is amazing. And it's the kind of commitment that we need in our church, the commitment to give God thanks and showing that, not just on one day, but in our lives, with all the way we live our lives. Jonah says in verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. If we think about it, if anybody needs to be rescued more than Jonah, it's people that are lost. Jonah was a picture of the Lord, of 3 days in the belly of a whale. Christ was 3 days in the grave. There's a picture of Christ in this whole story. And it points to the cross. And we got to think about people around us. We pray for salvation for people. People without Jesus are in worse danger than Jonah was in the belly of a whale. Jesus can and will save all who trust in him. And that's something we forget to mention sometimes. And we need to tell people more of that. We walk out of people's lives, in and out of people's lives. We should tell each person that we encounter, Christ will save you. Christ died for you. We need to tell people the gospel. People are perishing. Time is short. And people's lives are short. You can walk into a Walmart and get shot dead these days. You don't know when you leave the house if you're coming back. We'll end with a little bit more about Thanksgiving. Lincoln made his Thanksgiving proclamation in 1863. And he said of it, It was at the spiritual turning point of his life. If you go back in history, you find out that during this week, or during the week, first week of July that year, the Battle of Gettysburg had already occurred, which was the turning point of the Civil War. Between 8,000 and 12,000 men were killed, over 30,000 were wounded, and 10,000 were missing at the time he gave his Gettysburg address in November. It was while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves in Gettysburg that he says he gave and committed his life to Christ. He had later explained it this way, and it was written down this way, as if it was Lincoln's own words. He said, "When I left Springfield to assume the presidency, I asked the people to pray for me, but I was not a Christian then. When I buried my son, which was the severest of trials of my life, I was not a Christian then." He said, "When I went to Gettysburg and I saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated my life to Christ. It was then that I was a Christian for the first time." Thanksgiving has a lot around it, a lot of history around it, not just in our country, but in the Scriptures. All the way back to Jonah. A spirit of thanksgiving. Cry out to God if you're struggling. Turn your hope to God. Have hope in Him. Remember God. Pick up the Scripture. If you're having a hard time, remember God. Open the Scriptures and remember the God of the Bible and turn back to Him in obedience, like we see laid out before us by the prophet Jonah. Turn to the Lord and trust Him. He will forgive your sins and give you eternal life. And that will take you to the greatest place of thanksgiving that there ever was. The only true place of thanksgiving. I hope that each of you and every one of you have a happy Thanksgiving. And I pray that you're on top of the world and everything is great in your lives. And if it is, thank God for it. But some of us feel like we're in the belly of the whale. And we need to cry out to God, and we need to fall on our face and cry out to Him and place our hope in Him. Maybe even return to Him in obedience. He will hear us, He says, if we pray. So let this Thanksgiving, as we get together with friends, family, or even if you are alone, you're not alone if you know God, and you can spend time with Him, giving Him thanks for the very breath we have, for the very lives that we have. And I pray that you know Him. If you don't, you can. You can. Let's pray. Father God, we lift our hearts to You, grateful and thankful for Your Word. Thankful that we have a national holiday called Thanksgiving. That we now know from history, Lord, we know that it's giving thanks to You for life, for provision, and for salvation. And Lord, let us have a heart of thanksgiving toward You, not just one day of the year, but every day of the year. Let our hearts be broken. Let our hearts be humbled and turned toward You every day with a heart of thanksgiving for the very breath we have, for the life we have, and Lord, for salvation that we have through Christ. And Lord, we pray over each and every person here that they do know You, and if they don't, Lord, that You would break their hearts, that You would convict them of their sin, that they would repent of their sin and fall on their face and cry out for mercy and be saved and enter this place of the ultimate thanksgiving, of knowing that they have eternal life. Lord, we pray now over our time together of invitation, our time of reflection. Pray that Your will would be done in the hearts of all who are gathered here, that You would receive all glory and all honor. For You alone are worthy of it all. This we pray in Christ.